This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin. You're tuned into the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Kwai Chai Hong Project is the latest attraction in a long line of restoration projects that have taken over various alleyways in the Klang Valley these past few years. What separates this private alleyway in Petaling Street with others is perhaps its very grassroots narrative that is dear to the hearts of the local community there. Like all alleyways and old heritage sites, Kwai Chai Hong was abandoned and pretty dilapidated before Bai Chuan management stepped in to improve its fate. After a massive cleanup and a thorough restoration effort that include fresh paint and a lot of artistic murals, Kwai Chai Hong is now ready to relive its glorious past as a bustling area. Xin Chang, one of the founders and managing partners of Bai Chuan Management, describes to me the experience of being involved in the project.
Hi, I'm Xin, and I am one of the managing partner of Kwai Chai Hong.
Okay, and I understand that you're from Bai Chuan Management, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and you also have a background in marketing?
Yes, I have an agency that I started 15 years ago, Name Apostrophe, with my partners.
What's your relationship with Bai Chuan Management? You're one of the founders, right?
I am one of the five founders. Together, we were working before as associates and some working partnership. And by the time we were presented with an opportunity that we decided to join as partners.
Can you describe to me what Bai Chuan Management basically is?
Okay, we started Bai Chuan in October, and the whole reason why Bai Chuan was even created is because of Project Kwai Chai Hong. Mm. Project Kwai Chai Hong came about as an opportunity in September 2018, and it took us less than 2 weeks before we, all five partners, decided this is really, there's an opportunity to make a difference. Yes, we'll make money, for sure. We're guided by making profits, of course. But we believe that we can make a difference by putting some additional efforts, definitely a lot more patience, definitely a lot more investment, but making a difference and still making money, that's what we believed in.
Okay, and Kwai Chai Hong is an area in Petaling Street, right?
Kwai Chai Hong is actually the name given, a moniker given to a location around Lorong Panggung and Jalan Panggung of Chi Chong Kai, which is where Petaling Street is. So when we took over the project, we were only looking at these 10 shop lots, which is between Lorong Panggung and Petaling Street. So when Project Kwai Chai Hong as a name was given back to this location, it's really to give the history back its name, because the name was given by the people who lived there many, many years ago. But because it was a moniker, it wasn't really a name that was in a history, written in history or a street name. A lot of people thought it was made up, as in recently, just for the street. But no, it's actually part of the history of the street long time ago.
And for those of us who are not familiar with the term, can you explain to me what does it mean, Kwai Chai Hong?
I'll try. So Kwai Chai Hong in Cantonese is particularly pronounced in Cantonese. Kwai stands for ghost or demon. Chai is little kid or little. And Hong stands for back lane or a lane. So when you put the three together, it's little ghost lane. A lot of Chinese people, when they hear it for the first time, if they're not familiar, they would think that this place is haunted. Far from it. So this place is definitely not haunted, but the name was given with three possibilities. While the history is not written down, not carved in stone, we interviewed people around. We also checked the history of people that used to talk about Kwai Chai Hong or live there. And the three possible origination of the name came from one, when the migrants from China came, they usually would congregate at the Chinese populated area. And this Chinese populated area in the old days is Petaling Street, Chi Chong Kai. When they, being migrants of a working class, they were usually parents, both the husband and wife, mom and dad would have gone out to work, leaving the kids around to do their mischief. And when they're out for mischief, they usually will either play pranks on the older folks who are not working, which then gave them the name Kwai Chai, because they get screamed at for their mischief. So when people passing the street hear all this screaming from the older folks, so that's when they say, how come there's Kwai Chai here? So this must be a Kwai Chai Hong. So the Kwai Chai Hong came about that way. The next possibility is the gangsterism, the gang that used to take care of the territory where Kwai Chai Hong is. So this Kwai Chai Hong territory was taken care by Long Fu Tong, which used to be, in English, you call a dragon, tiger, a gang. and they call their kunchu kunchu, their little ones or their followers, guai zai. So the boss will call them, where are my guai zai? Or when you call yourself a guai zai, you know that this territory is yours, which is why that place is called Guai Zai Hong.
Okay. And what was the place like prior to the project?
As in just recent before? Or
prior to the project,
50?
Yeah.
Okay, just prior to the project. Yeah. A lot of wholesale markets, wholesale shops are there. In fact, the original 2 out of 10 was also owned by, or should I say managed by my partner, who ran their wholesale market for stationery and toys. So a lot of stationery and toy wholesale, jewellery toy wholesales, they set up their shops there for wholesale purposes. And there were other, of course, vice activities there. And that's what kind of made up the 10 shop lots. There were, at the Lorong Panggung area, the 4 shop lots there at the Lorong Panggung, had foreign workers staying in there as well, divided into many, many different rooms and bunkers. And there was a lion dance troupe as well that was based there. There was, there's definitely a very famous coffee shop named Ho Kau, who's also there. So these are the people that were there right before our time. But when we took the project in September, that entire space was already empty. So when we were involved in September, when we were being given this opportunity in September, if you're asking me right prior to the project, it was already all empty. Oh. There was nobody there already. But to look at maybe 5 months prior to our involvement, these were the people who were there.
Oh, okay. So they eventually left prior to the takeover.
Yeah, we got involved in September. I believe they left in May. Mm. Yeah.
And what was the condition like?
Oh, dilapidated. Totally dilapidated. If you go to our Facebook, we show the before and after pictures so that people will see. I say dilapidated particularly for the back lane, which is Guai Zai Hong itself, which is what we call. Simply because a lot of foreign worker shop lot that was housing over 20 of them, 10 over 20 of them, there's only one toilet. So imagine them all having to share. So the back lane became a little filthy as well, because a lot of them kind of use that as a second toilet. They were also a makeshift bath area that they do, where they do their showers at the back. Of course, infested as well, totally infested, both the bugs and the rodents. So when we took over and opened a back lane for the first time, we opened a back door of the 10 shop lots, right? When we opened for the first time, let's just say it's not exactly a pleasant look. We got a shock. A tinge of regret start coming in.
Do you and your fellow founders have personal connection to the place?
Definitely. 3 out of 5 of us worked in Petaling Street for the past 16, 17 years. In fact, it was through them that we got the opportunity to do up these 10 shop lots. They were the ones running 3 of the different wholesale shops or stores there. 2 or 3, I can't remember. But again, toys and stationeries and even fashion items. They had at least 16 years, 17 years of experience there. So they know the sentiment of the people there.
Mm. Yeah, so because that's one of the more important things when it comes to approaching a project like this, right? Okay, so walk me through the process of how do you approach the renovation and envision its future, in the sense that, what did you have in mind when you decided to take over the place?
So when we first decided to take over the place, it was rather, we were led by more opportunistic kind of character. We said, this is a very popular place. There is a 5-star hotel that's going to be up just 100 meters from your lot. We see a lot of new cafes opening. So it was all this, so much opportunity that is playing in our mind about making money. But we also know these 10 shop lots are at a very strategic location. Whatever we do, for some reason, I feel we are confident that it will make money. Now the point is, you are able to make money. Do you make money out of something meaningful, or do you just make money? So we chose to do things meaningful. Again, it would be wrong for me to say that we did this out of charity. It's not true. Obviously, there was a business part of the deal. We need to make money. But we felt that if we could invest a little more of money and time, that these are the two things a lot of patients need to put in, a lot of money needs to be pumped in, it would be a lot more meaningful for a project to make money, which is why Project Guai Zai Hong was done with so much attention on a back lane. If you look at the back alley, there is no money to make at the back alley. People come in, they take lots of photos, they see the old days, how things were, and then they go. So there was no income coming from there, which is why when we describe Project Guai Zai Hong to a lot of people, they wouldn't understand why would you do something like that if it's not charity. So the point is, if we could make Project Guai Zai Hong, the back lane, so popular, people come, that's when I bring traffic. That's when I bring people back. when I say bringing people back, what we notice at Jalan Petaling particularly, by nightfall, and when I say by 6 p.m, that street is dead. Dead because the wholesale markets would have all been closed. They would have all gone home to their own places. And that place is not welcoming. Aside from it being dark and perhaps not very clean, there are no restaurants that open till night as well. Everybody kind of avoid that place at night. And then we looked at that space and say, because the potential is so high, it's just that someone just needs to invest time and effort to do it. That's why we did exactly what we did. And when you ask me, where did the origination of the idea come from? It came from my partner, Coco. So she, as a kid, she would tell me, she told me as a kid, she would follow her mum to come to Petaling Street to get stocks because she owns a retail back home in her kampung. So they will come and get stocks for the wholesale and then they'll go home. Every time she comes to KL at Chichongkai, she will have the best time because the mum will work and she will go on her naughty nonsense. And she would buy her favourite candy, her favourite food. And it's almost like a holiday every time coming to Chichongkai. And she said to herself, and she was telling all of us, what wonderful feeling it would be, what a wonderful thing it would be if I could make this space that brought me so much joy much more better than it was. So before we took over, again, the idea of this space is not the old Chinatown that it used to be. Chichongkai to her was a lot more fun. Then it became different. A lot of involvement of different foreign workers, the losing of the Chinese culture. So now that we have a chance, she came up to us and said, you know, we could do this. What do you all think? So as brand consultants, between me and my partner, we said, let's do it bigger. Let's do it better. So that's the inception of the idea why Kwai Tse Hong look like this today. It's to bring people back in time where Chinatown or Chichongkai was its most glorious, which we feel was between the 1960s and maybe 1970s. These were the dates where everybody, if you come to KL and you say you want to see Chinatown, it's a proud thing. Today's Chinatown, it's a mixed feeling. Locals feel different, tourists still come, but tourists will say, I don't see as many Chinese in Chinatown as I see in other countries.
Okay, so your background as a brand consultant definitely helped in making Kwai Tse Hong what it is today, right?
Yes, very blessed, lucky, very lucky.
Yeah, what's the project like, as in terms of the upgrades that you had there? I understand that apart from the murals and the cleaning up of the back alley, you also renovated all the shops there, right?
Right, so the renovation process, we got Ting City's involvement, especially for the facade. And that's where we are really grateful because all five of us as partners, we were driven by passion, but the lack of knowledge. So like dumb fools who wants to put the money and time, but don't really know what's the right way to do it. So with Think City's involvement, they taught us a lot of things that was rightfully what's important for a heritage building. So these 10 shop lots are Category 3, secondary, they call it secondary heritage area of Category 3. So for that label given to you, there are some rules that you have to follow. And we never even knew, honestly, when we took the 10 shop lots, we didn't know that we were in such category. We didn't even know there was a heritage category or heritage building status for us. So Ting City was telling us certain rules and ways that you can do for your contractor, particularly to maintain a building. Don't use cement, use lime plaster, the paint that you use, the way that you patch up the holes, everything even to changing the doors and the windows. We kept the doors and the windows the way they were shaped from the start the building was done. Meaning, when we took over the 10 shop lots, there were lots of renovation already done by the past tenants. There were windows that were in steel structures. There were windows that were already sealed off as windows. Shapes of doors were all totally off already. We had to look back the old pictures to go back in time and say, okay, we need to look back how it used to be. So all the renovations were done to bring it back to its as close to its original look as possible. So where doors and windows are concerned, we need to learn from the experts what kind of shape of the doors and windows that we could, including teaching us how to paint or how to colour. We were taught to find out how do you find the first layer, how do you find the colour, the first colour of the building, by scratching through the layer of the wall right before you hit the red bricks. That first layer of colour that you see, that would be the original colour of the building in its first glory. And that's what we did. So we scratched, and then we saw this yellow. Now, the point is, which yellow is the right yellow? Because this is like a building that is pre-war. the yellow would have been different then. So we made an assumption it could be this yellow and painted it. The blue on the windows that got a lot of attention and flag at the same time, we kept the original windows and we displayed them at Kwai Tai Hong. So when if anybody is unhappy and they come and see the original blue windows that we have kind of put on display, they can't be unhappy because that was the original colour lah. Yeah.
How hands-on were Think City in the project?
When Think City came in involved, they were working on facades, windows and doors. I mean, this was the three areas that they looked at. Every week, there will be reports sent to them. I can see them coming and inspect the work every week as well. They give us surprise pictures and say, hey, you know, your guys are not following the way. And then we will reprimand the contractor that is being hired. But every step of the way, they would come and advise us what's the right and wrong.
That was Zin Chang, one of the founders and managing partners of Bai Chuan Management, a body that is responsible for the Kwai Chai Hong project, an old heritage site in Petaling Street that has now been restored and beautified. We're going for a short break. I'm Hanif Baharuddin and you're listening to I Love KL on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and joining me this week is Zin Chang. She's one of the founders of Bai Chuan Management, an organization created solely to work on restoring and maintaining Kwai Chai Hong, an old heritage area in Petaling Street. In the first part of the show, Zin Chang has shared the history of the space and how it earned its moniker. She has also shared their journey in making the place what it is today, a refreshed space that is no longer ignored by the public. Now, when it comes to approaching a project like this, one has to always take into consideration the feedback and sentiment of the locals there. How did Zin Chang and her team deal with that?
When you see locals around there, well, the 10 shop lots, the tenants, original tenants has moved out, so those were the locals. But if you're talking about locals, a lot of them tell a story about the history of that space. I don't think it came to a point where they will tell us what you can and cannot do. It's not come to a point where the conversation will go to, what do you think I should do with this space? I don't think we got there. But we were very grateful that some of the neighbours were very supportive. The Chi Chong Fan uncle that's down the road, super supportive. We're a great friend of his and he's a super supportive guy. We also spoke to some of the old tenants. When I say old tenants, who used to live there maybe 30 years ago. We brought them back and that was with the help of a TV2 station actually. And when we spoke to them, we were really, really grateful that most of the things that we did was validated. Like, there were people questioning, why are you displaying one of the mural with a prostitute? Why is there a prostitute being represented in one of the mural? It shouldn't be there. It was never there. And we said, but based on the conversation we have with the locals around there, this place used to be a red light district. How then is it possible not to have that image of a person who worked as a sex slave or a sex worker? And when the old people, like the tenants, came back and told us, oh, my neighbour happened to be one of them, then it puts a big smile to my face because then there you go, it's validated. So a lot of people can come to us and give us a lot of comments about you shouldn't have and you didn't have, like even the old, like you say, the neighbouring tenants. But we're comforted to know that, you know, the truth, when the history comes back, some of them will come to us and validate it was like that. Yeah.
Can you share a bit how you approach the art pieces that you chose for your murals? Because there are a lot of different scenes, right? And like you said just now, there's a scene depicting a prostitute. But there's also like, that cranky lady from Kung Fu Hustle as well, right? So what was the thinking behind, you know, choosing all these art pieces?
Okay, let's first deal with the cranky lady from the Kung Fu Hustler show. We got a lot of comments saying, your murals are nice until they see the Kung Fu Hustler. Why are you copying? You know, that was the word, why are you copying? So it's good that you gave me a chance to tell people why. When we worked with the artists, the first thing we told the artists is the idea was to bring people back in time. That was the first thing. Bring people back in time, bring people back in the history where it's glorious. So that was the main thing. So we did some history checking, facts checking ourselves and say it should be the time between 1960s, 1970s, where everybody is still very proud. So we knew 1960s where we want to bring people back in time. So what were the few things that we wanted to do is to show characters that were really prominent characters of those days. One of the prominent characters that came up was this thing called Bao Zhou Po. Bao Zhou Po means landlady, landlord, landlady. Why that concept is because a lot of the shop lots today that you see were not shop lots before. They were actually built for residence, for residential purposes. And what owners usually do, they cut that same lot of 1,000 square feet into 10 rooms and then rent it out in bunker style sometimes even. So the concept of a landlady is a very strong concept in the old days. She really goes around collecting rents. Now, when I gave my artist the objective, I need you to paint me a landlady, the first thing that came in their mind when they hear the word landlady, they picture it this way. They picture her with curlers. They picture her with a cigarette on the lip. They picture her in that nightgown because that's how everybody picture a landlady due to the popularity of Kung Fu Hustle. So when the artist came back to the partners and said, this is how it looked, we had a good laugh. We actually say this is funny. And we thought, why can't it be funny? So that's why we put it up. And because it was a painting, you can argue that it was just alike, painted alike with the character. And it was never to mimic or steal an idea from someone, but we needed a Bao Zhou Po. And the best representation is from that movie. Then the other rest of the characters, again, to depict 1960s, we wanted to bring the character back in life. Remember I said about the kids being rascal, and that's why Guai Tai Hong's name came about? So that's why you will see kids being depicted in quite a number of our murals. Playing marbles, just daydreaming at the window, and also even in the 2.5-story mural where you see them playing skipping ropes and pulling pranks. Those are the things that the kids do. That's why you see kids became a topic of interest. The rest of the mural, like the prostitute, like I mentioned earlier, because it was a red light district before as well, the old calligrapher uncle. So there was a, not so old, I guess, 50s. The calligrapher uncle who is in that era, very popular because they were the ones who were extremely literate. So imagine the people that come from China, a lot of them are not literate. They are hard worker, but they're not literate. So if they want to send news back to their people in China, to my family in China, I need someone to write the letters for me. So the calligraphers are a prominent character then. Aside from their artistic way of presenting calligraphy, they write letters for people to bring home, which is why we think that it would be a very important character for these people. They play a big role. They are the communicator between the people in Malaysia sending news back to the people in China. And then finally, you see the bridge. You'll see a couple sitting there. Actually, not finally, there's an Erwu uncle as well. The bridge, the couple sitting there, again, it's for fun. Why? Because in the 1960s, 1970s, when couples go for dating, unlike today, everything is on phone and, you know, digitized, they would go to places like the seashore, the seaside, the riverside, sitting on a bridge. So they beguiled at the area, like they were lepak at those area and have the quirkiest conversation, like how much do you love me? Do you love me more than you love me the moon? Or, you know, will you love me enough to bring me down the moon? So we use that relationship, that cute relationship, that cute conversation as a way to show people 1960s, that's how they were. And of course, there's an Erwu uncle. The Erwu uncle is to show Chinese instrument being brought in from China. And also, if you know of Guai Tai Hong, it should not only depict one particular age group. We have the kids, we have the middle age, we have the people dating, and then we have the old in his 60s. So he's probably been in Malaysia for more than 60 years. Or he has been in Malaysia, but now he's 60 years old. And people like them would bring in instruments from China, arts from China, culture from China, which is why we wanted to depict a particular instrument playing, an uncle playing a particular instrument, old instrument from China in Guai Tai Hong. So if you put all this together, you see a real mashed up mix of how life would have been for different age, different era, and different even where they come from. Some of them could be locals, right? Some of them could be from China. But the idea is to bring you a full view, or at least a good view, a good mix of view of with the mural. Plus, we wanted the mural to be a little different. So a lot of people are saying, a mural again, really? Isn't it passé? And our answer is, it may be, but if I needed to present the era, the mural was important. Just putting a TV and showing 1960s is not going to play. It's not going to work. People won't feel it. So the mural is a form of art. That's why we added QR code. So that's where we took a big... this is where gentrification is totally different right now. I took mural. Mural is still very old-fashioned. We're doing it the old way. But I added technology because by the QR code, you now hear the mural. You can hear the mural talk to you. So if you scan the QR code sitting with the couple sitting on a bridge, you will hear their conversation and you will totally have goosebumps because those old days conversation, do you love me, how much you love me, in Cantonese, it's funny. It's funny because everybody will start giggling when they hear, oh my God, this is how they speak in 1960s. You'll hear the same QR code, a different QR code for the Erwu uncle, how he played the Erwu and then describing about his history. The kids have their QR code, the prostitute has her QR code, so all of them, the calligrapher uncle has a QR code. So all of them is speaking to you. They speak to you, they speak to you as a audience, they speak to you as a viewer.
Mm. When did you get the audio? How did you do it?
So all the voices you hear are from professional voiceover talents who were from the old days. If you heard of Radio Fusion, do you know this? You're probably too young, right? So Radio Fusion, I remember when I was a kid, my mom would play this thing, the music that comes out or the storytelling that comes out from a box. And this storytelling box has talents from the old days where they tell you a story only through voice. So it's like a storytelling. They will make sound effects. They will make sound effects of people walking, whistling. And we got back these old talents, got them together. We hired them to do the voiceover with the script that we wrote. So everything was written. The script was carefully crafted. We hire really good voiceover talents. And we brought people back in time. So when you go there, listen to the QR code, you will have a laugh. I promise you'll have a laugh.
Okay. All right. You mentioned gentrification just now, and you mentioned how people, you know, some of the initial feedback that you received from, I mean, the people around you about the murals, whether that, I mean, they might be a bit passé and things like that, right? How do you reconcile that? The whole conversation about how, you know, when it comes to the preservation of a very historic site, people tend to also argue about, you know, not wanting it to be gentrified. Yeah. So where do you position yourself in this argument or in this discussion?
I think to answer that, it's tough, but to answer that, we go back to the objective of why we started this. We know that there will be a lot of different point of views from different people. Everybody seemed to have their, belief, what they're passionate about. We started with bringing people back. I mean, that was really the objective. I want to bring people back here. This street is so dead at certain point in time. And it's only alive when people come here to work. Why? So if we could make the street, revive the street again, bring people back, that would be my objective. I think Petaling Street has got a lot of potential to be even greater than it is today. And that's where we keep telling ourselves, don't forget that basic main focus that we have, which is to bring people back. So if I want to bring people back, there are many ways, of course, to do it. And everyone seemed to have their own opinion. Some would say, I don't want you to beautify it. It should be exactly the way it looked before. Now, I've posted up my before pictures. And when I showed the before pictures to a lot of the guests, a lot of the people who are walking in this new space now, I asked them, would you come back if it was like that? Of course, most of the people who are here right now are just celebrating the beauty of it now. So all of them were saying, no, we won't step in this space if it looked like that. So if you ask me the difference between, is it gentrification, does it kill preservation? I say, what is the purpose of preservation when people don't appreciate it? So I have a different point of view. Preservation with appreciation makes a lot more meaning than preservation with no appreciation. If I only have 5% of the population who actually even know of the existence of this space because it was well preserved, versus 80% of people would have come, viewed this space, and given a chance to know what it was like before and now. Because majority of the people who walk into Kwai Tee Hong today wouldn't have stepped into Kwai Tee Hong if it was like before. And when they knew of the space before, when they see the before and after, they were excited. Because some of them would come back and say, I lived here when I was a kid. And my mom wouldn't let me come to this street because this is a notorious street. But now I'm able to bring my mom back in her wheelchair. That's why we made that place OKU friendly as well, because we know a lot of old folks will want to come back. And when they view this space, you should see the smile on their face. And to see the conversation between the grandparents who used to be there, used to live there, telling their younger generation, the younger kids who are busy Instagramming, but bothered to listen to the grandma saying about this place used to be what, I used to be here, we used to do this, what the calligraphers do. It's a big, very rewarding feeling for the five partners because that's what we wanted. We wanted to bring people back to appreciate what it used to be.
Okay. Did you receive any feedback, you know, whether positive feedback or negative feedback regarding that discussion about, you know, beautification versus preservation and things like that?
The positive feedback came, I think I'd say the positive feedback obviously outweighs the negative feedback. But again, I think Malaysians also do hold back negative feedback when they don't want you to hear lah. So being nice Malaysians, I would say maybe 80%, 90% of it are positive feedback. We do have negative feedback and I don't shy from that. And that came from people who have a different objective of what they feel preservation is. Like, they felt that some of the things that we did, like painting the walls that colour, was against what they feel preservation is about. Like I explained to you earlier how the colours were chosen. We felt that we have done our due, but again, maybe not in the most knowledgeable way. Like, scratching the wall and picking a yellow, that was one of the way. There were also one very huge flag that we got about the doors that we couldn't maintain. So there was, in one or two of the unit, there was a door that was originally from the building itself. We found people to come in to try to fix it. That means we got contractors to come in to try to fix it because it wasn't able to shut. I think we tried two or three different vendors and their immediate response is, how do you fix a rotten door? It's rotting. So I have to cut away the door. If you want to install a new door, it's easy. So after a few contractors, we felt there was no way to sustain whatever or maintain the door, restore the door. So we replaced it. And that was one of the negative flag that we got because that three-layer door was a huge history, huge part of history of Lorong Panggung. We kept parts of the door of whatever that was still in a piece. So when they removed the door, the contractor, whatever he could hold as a piece, we kept them. And then we displayed them in one of the cafes.
Okay. So just now you said that, you know, one of the aims of reviving the Kwai Chai Hong area is to also bring people back, right? And of course, you mentioned earlier that, you know, there is an element of, you know, trying to make the place sustainable, right, in the long run. And that means having to, you know, maybe revive all the shop lots that, you know, that were there, right? So what's the process of you trying to, you know, sell all these shop lots? You know, are you going to be curating it, making sure that only certain tenants can be tenants of the shop lots? Or are you going to just, you know, open it up to anyone that's interested? Yeah.
So the process of keeping the quality or the flavour of Kwai Chai Hong is first, of course, doing up the back lane, but second is the curation of the 10 shop lots. So if the 10 shop lots are all going to be wholesale shops again, wholesale retail again, it defeats the purpose of you wanting to curate the space differently. So our first aim, again, because Malaysia being Malaysians, food is what leads us, you know, we guide us. So F&B is one of the main things we've put up. And right now, out of the 10 shop lots, 8 has been taken up and they're all F&B of different style, different flavours, different culture. Two more to go. And the reason why two more to go is also because we're very picky. Some F&B who are relevant may not be able to participate in this street simply because of the way we have curated the space where they are dual entrance. The entrance come in from Jalan Petaling, if it's for the Jalan Petaling lot, but the next entrance come in from Kwai Chai Hong. So it being a dual entrance, some F&B who needed a big kitchen space will not be suitable because you have now dual entrance and where would you put your kitchen if you would have the back entrance as an entrance as well. So when we curate the space, we also need to see how we can bring in different flavours. We don't want one type of F&B all the way. We don't want just, say, bars are particularly interested in our location, but we're not going to pick all bars because that's not depict the way it should be, not the way we want to curate the space. Yeah.
Okay. On top of that, you also plan to also use the back lane as an event space, right? I understand that last Friday you collaborated with Rex KL for their fourth edition of like a back lane cinema, right? So you do like cinema screening there as well. Is that something that you're planning to do more of in the future?
Definitely. Bringing people back again, you know, that keep going back to the objective, bringing people back. You need to curate the space with lots of content. If it's after maybe the first 6-9 months of hype, taking all the photos of all the mirrors that I have, you can't just walk away and say, okay, you know, people will come back the next 10 times. They won't. So there must be reason, there must be content. So when we partner with people like RexScale, it's an honor, of course, and it brings a different type of audience. The earlier audience we had were all Instagrammer, crazy Instagrammer fans. They will be coming here to take lots of pictures. Even storytelling could be tough to get into them unless they feel the need, because all they want is good pictures. Then when you bring in someone like RexKL, and when I did a welcome speech, I just wanted to see the number of hands of people who has been to Kuai Tai Hong. I had the impression that everybody knew Kuai Tai Hong, maybe because we have been exposed to that space so much, right? But only 5% of the people who attended, of 200 over people, actually put their hands up that they have actually even stepped foot in Kuai Tai Hong. So it also taught us a new lesson that there is a huge, huge crowd out there who has not heard of Kuai Tai Hong, and those are the ones that you need to welcome back as well.
Okay. So I think the hard part of the project is done now. So how do you plan to maintain and, you know, keep the momentum going?
Definitely, we need to still spend money. Because when you maintain an old building, I mean, an old lane, lots of things that needs to be fixing all the time. But aside from that, it's really the effort of bringing different activities and content. When I say activities and content, we will be focusing on festive seasons, especially Chinese-related festive seasons, seeing that it is a Chinatown location they're at. That's why end of August, we're going to have a Mid-Autumn Festival, the entire Mid-Autumn Festival activity for 3 weeks, which will have a new reason for people to come. Why? Because we're opening for nighttime. So Kuai Tai Hong opens at 9 to 6 p.m. today. But come Mid-Autumn Festival onwards, we'll be opening till midnight.
Okay, all right. Hopes for the future?
We only hope, again, Bai Chuan is all because of Kuai Tai Hong. A lot of people are asking us, hey, you know, you five partners, now that you guys are so done with Kuai Tai Hong and it's kind of a successful thing, do you guys want to venture elsewhere and do more different back lanes or different lanes? And the answer is, we didn't start this as a business to do up streets. While it's exciting, we want to focus on Kuai Tai Hong and do it really well. We think there's so many more opportunities to do it even better. When we get tired of, or when Kuai Tai Hong don't need us anymore, then maybe we'll venture elsewhere. But we did have people coming to us who say, hey, you know, I've got a back lane around my area. Do you want to do it up? And our immediate response is, let us do Kuai Tai Hong first. Let us do Kuai Tai Hong first.
You've been tuning in to I Love KL, and this week we're joined by Zin Chang, one of the founders and managing partners of Bai Chuan Management, the body responsible for the Kuai Tai Hong project, an old area in Petaling Street that has now been restored to its former glory. And that's all we have for this week's episode of I Love KL. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl or download our app via Google Play or the App Store. Alternatively, you can also find our podcast on Spotify. Don't forget to also follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharudin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week, only on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.